Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And our subject this morning is death in Adam, life in Christ. Well, just a week and a half ago in this church, in place of our Bible study, we had the pleasure of welcoming the Answers in Genesis ministry. And their great focus and aim, just for those of you who are not aware of their ministry, their great aim is to defend the truth of the Bible as a whole, but particularly the creation account, that which we read of in the book of Genesis, that God is our creator, namely that he created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And of course, we as a church, we believe in the book of Genesis, we believe in the whole word of God. But of course, the book of Genesis is mocked and ridiculed by the world today. And they will laugh at us and say, how can you believe the book of Genesis? How can you believe such nonsense? And then they turn away and they believe, their own nonsensical explanations for how life began. But of course, what we believe is not nonsense. This is the word of God, the word of truth, a word that does not lie to us, a word you can trust. And so we do trust this word. And even though many people find it unbelievable, we trust in the word of God. And by the way, this is just a general comment about truth. The truth often is unbelievable. How often do you read things in the news which you can scarcely believe? If it wasn't true, you wouldn't believe it. How often do you watch documentaries about real life events and the things that they tell you? Well, you wouldn't believe them if it wasn't true. Even in the past 2 years, how often have we seen unbelievable events? We've seen the pandemic. We've seen the war in Ukraine. We've seen a political crisis, so many prime ministers in such a short time. Would you believe that if somebody had told you way before the time? The truth is very often unbelievable. Just because you find it hard to believe doesn't mean that it's not the truth. So that's just a general comment about truth. But we believe in the truth of the Bible because it is the word of God. We believe in the 6-day creation. We believe God created the heaven and the earth, and we believe that God created man. We believe in Adam, the first man from whom we have all descended. Adam, whose name means of the ground, of the earth, because he was formed from the dust of the earth. And when we read this verse in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, well, we find out in verse 22, that the Apostle Paul also believed in Adam. The Apostle, under inspiration of God, he believes in Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Apostle Paul, who was writing thousands of years after Adam, around 4,000 years, we believe, roughly according to the dating of the Bible. But the Apostle Paul, he fully believes in the creation account regarding Adam. And indeed, Adam is actually a vital part of the Apostle Paul's theology. A vital part of his theology. Because what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that without Adam, if you don't believe in Adam, then believing in Christ doesn't make any sense. If you don't believe in Adam, there's no point believing in Christ. You must believe in Adam. It's essential. Otherwise, you cannot fully understand what Christ has done or what it means to believe in Christ. You have to believe in Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So the Apostle Paul, therefore, he believes in Adam. He believes what the scriptures say about Adam, about creation, about the past. But not only that, he also believes in what the Bible teaches about the future. And this is what we ought to be like as Christians. We as Christians, we ought to believe what the Bible says about the beginning of the world, but we also ought to believe in what the Bible says about the end of the world. Of course we should. Sadly, there are many people, even those who would profess to be Christians, who don't believe in these things. They don't believe in the beginning of the Bible. They don't believe in the end of the Bible. And that's very sad. But we believe, of course, in Genesis. We believe in what the Bible says will happen at the very end. We believe that Christ will return one day. We believe that there will be a judgment. We believe that there will be a general resurrection. This is actually what this chapter is about, this 15th chapter. The Apostle Paul is talking about the return of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. So Paul, in this chapter, he believes in everything, the very beginning of the Bible and the very end of the Bible. And if we are Christians, well, we ought to do the same. We're not better than the Apostle Paul. We're not smarter than the Apostle Paul, even though we like to think so. We must follow the Apostle Paul. We must follow his example of faith and believe every part of the Word of God. So Adam is mentioned here and Christ is mentioned here in this verse. And this verse is going to be our focus. As always, there's a lot we could say, but I'm only going to speak briefly about the meaning of these words. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, these words make clear something that we quite often point out in our gospel messages, and that is that there are only really two types of people in the world. Only two groups of people. The world likes to carve us up into many different groups based on social categories, class, ethnicity, political inclination, gender, and so on. The world is always dividing us up into so many different groups. There are only two groups in the Bible, only two tribes, those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. Those are the only two groups we need to worry about. And by nature, the Bible teaches us we are all in Adam. This is our state by nature, by natural birth. We are all in Adam. But the Bible makes clear that we must not remain in Adam. We must not remain in Adam. We must find our way to Christ. Why? Well, because as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the reason why we must not remain in Adam. Because in Adam there is death. As in Adam all die, but in Christ there is life. There is life in Christ. In Adam there is only death. Death in Adam. Why is death in the world? Death cannot be adequately explained by science. There is no adequate explanation. The scientists cannot explain why things die. They can explain how things die. Yes, of course, they're very good at that, how organisms decline and deteriorate, but they cannot tell you why they die. The evolutionists cannot explain why there is death in the world. All the evolutionist has is a survival of the fittest. That's all they go on about, survival of the fittest. But what's the point in being fit when even the fittest will one day die? Decline and die. Why is that? What is the reason for that? Science cannot answer that, but the Bible gives us an answer. The Bible gives us the truth. The Bible explains how death came into the world through Adam. For as in Adam all die, through the first man, And we know this very well. Adam was created by God. We read that in the book of Genesis. And Adam, by the way, when he was created, he was not created by God to die. He was created by God to live. God created the world, and God placed Adam in the most beautiful part of the world, the Garden of Eden. And the plan was to live there, for Adam to live there, not to die there, but God created man for him to live there. There was no death sentence upon Adam when he was created. He was created perfect. He was created upright. But what happened? Well, Adam disobeyed God. He took that forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were so many other trees that God had provided that Adam could have freely taken from. But Adam, well, he chose the one that was forbidden to him. He disobeyed God. And remember what God said to him, the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. Adam knew what would happen to him, but he did it anyway. He didn't care about God. He disobeyed God. He rebelled against God. And the punishment was death. That was the punishment. Death for Adam, death for Eve, death for the natural world, for the plants, for the animals, death for all of us, all of Adam's descendants. This is the great evidence. This is how we know that we are all descended from Adam. How do we know that we're descended from Adam? Because we all die. That's how we know. Adam brought death into the world upon himself. Therefore, every descendant of Adam will die. And death, the curse of death for Adam, was not just physical. This is very important to understand. Yes, the punishment for Adam included physical death, physical illness and death. Adam would return to the dust from whence he came. But the day Adam ate the fruit, he did not die physically. I've heard people say this. If God said that Adam would die the day that he ate of that fruit, he didn't die, did he? So the Bible is wrong. Well, yes, he did die. He died spiritually on that day. Adam, the moment he took of that fruit, he died spiritually. And sadly, this is the death that we all inherit, each and every one of us as children of Adam. This is part of what it means when we say that we are born sinners. When we say we are born sinners, it means we are born spiritually dead. We are physically alive, but spiritually dead. We are cut off from God. Adam, because of his sin, he was cut off from God. His relationship with God was spoiled. The moment he took of that fruit, his relationship was ended, as it were, was spoiled. Ultimately, he was banished from the Garden of Eden. He was sent from the presence of God, cut off, distanced from God. That's like us. We are distanced from God by nature. We are opposed to God by nature. We have no relationship with God. There's no prayer life by nature. There's no seeking after God by nature. We don't know the God who has made us. And in fact, we are actually hiding from God. Just like Adam. Remember when Adam sinned, what did he do? He hid from God. As soon as he took that fruit, he hid from God. And that's exactly what we're like by nature. We're all like Adam. We hide from God because of our sin. We hide from God because, man loves his sin. The natural man loves his sin. The natural man, the man in Adam, he loves doing what he wants to do. He loves doing what he feels like, just doing what his passions and lusts will lead him to. He loves ignoring the rules when it suits him. He loves living according to his own laws. He's not going to live under God's laws. He doesn't want God. He hides from God because he believes that if he goes to God, his sin will be taken away from him. He'll have to give up his sin. And he loves his sin. So this is why he hides from God, because he loves his sin. But it's also the shame of sin that causes those in Adam to hide from God. When Adam hid from God, he was ashamed. That's why he hid from God. He had sinned against God and he was ashamed of his sin. That's why he hid. And this, I believe, is why so many people stay away from church, particularly in this modern age. It's the shame of their sin. We all know instinctively the character of God, of the true and living God. We all know that God is holy. If there is a God, he must be holy, he must be pure, he must be righteous. And so we know if we enter into the presence of a holy God who can see all the things that we've done, all the times that we've lied, all the times that we've stolen, all the times we've cheated. If we enter into the presence of a holy God, won't we be ashamed? That's a shameful thing. And so this is why people don't want to come to church. They don't want to hear of God. They know their sins. They're ashamed. Let me hide from God. Let me hide. It's a shameful thing. And also, by the way, it's a fearful thing. People don't want to approach God because of fear. If I approach God with all of my sin, surely he will condemn me. Won't God condemn me? He's a holy God and I'm a sinner. I can't go to him. He'll condemn me, just like he condemned Adam. He condemned Adam to death. It'll be the same for me. Surely I can't approach God. But dear friends, this is the gospel message. The gospel message is this: there is a way to approach God without shame. There is a way to approach God without condemnation. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam, you have a broken relationship with God, but in Christ, you are made right with God. You are reconciled to God. That's the message of this verse. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, what is the difference between Adam and Christ? The fundamental difference. They were, after all, they were both men. We understand that from verse 21. For since by man, by Adam, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. They're both referred to as men in that verse. But the difference is, of course, that Adam was only a man. He was only a man. He was a great man, of course. He was a man created by God. He was man in perfect form, but he was only a man. And a man can fail. A man can fall. A man can sin against God if he so chooses. And this is what Adam did. He chose to disobey God. But Christ, you see, he wasn't only a man. He was the God-man. He is the God-man, God and man. And so being God as man, he cannot fail. He cannot fall. He cannot sin. Of course not. He is God and man. That's the difference. Adam was just a man, a perfect man, yes. But Christ is the God-man. He cannot fall. He cannot sin. And well, we all know when Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he was the only man in history who never sinned. Not a single sin, not one sin from his birth in Bethlehem to his death on the cross. Not one sin. He was perfectly righteous, even though he was tempted. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil in the wilderness three times, and he resisted each and every time. Adam was tempted just once in the Garden of Eden. He fell because he's a man. But the God-man, he was tempted three times. He resisted. He is the God-man. He is perfectly righteous. That's why he's our Savior. We need his righteousness in order to be saved. None of us can ever be good enough for God. We say this repeatedly. Of course we can't. We're sinners by nature. How can we be right with God if we are sinners by nature? How can we be right with God if we have sinned? It only takes one sin for you to fall out of favor with God. God is so holy. That's how much it took for Adam. How many times did Adam sin? We read once, only once. That's all it takes. Just one sin, and we are condemned to death. That's the holiness of God. So we cannot be made righteous by ourselves because we have all sinned. We need the righteousness of Christ. We need his righteousness, the righteousness of one man, the God-man. That spotless, pure righteousness, that's the only way we can be made acceptable to God. And this is what this verse is saying. This is how it works. By one man's disobedience, we are all sinners. By Adam's disobedience, we all die. But by one man's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, we shall live. We shall be accepted by God. We must trust in him. He is the only way we can be saved. And this is so very important. This is what it is to be saved, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we're almost out of time, but I have to make this exhortation. Are you in Christ? You must come to Christ, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What does it mean to be in Christ in this verse? Even so in Christ. How do I change my status from being in Adam to being in Christ? Well, here's the thing. I mentioned earlier, we are naturally born into Adam. By virtue of our natural birth, we are in Adam. In order to be in Christ, we must be born again. We must be born again. This is the teaching of the Word of God. How can I be born again, people say? Can I enter the second time into the womb, as Nicodemus said, of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, dear friends, he was wrong. One of the ways I answer this question, how must I be born again? Well, in order to be born again, you have to die first. You have to die first. This chapter, remember, is about resurrection. It's about a glorious resurrection for the people of God. Well, in order for the people of God to be resurrected, to have that glorious resurrection, they must die first. And it's the same with the new birth. In order for you to have this new life, this glorious new life, this glorious new birth, you must die first. Not die physically, of course, but this is the way you must die. You die to yourself. You die to your own way, to your own will, your own ambitions, your own plans. You used to live just for yourself according to my will. Now I live for the will of God according to his will. I live for him. The old desire is gone. It's dead. And you turn away from the world. You repent. You turn away from your sins. The sins that you used to love doing, now it's gone, it's finished, it's dead. You put it to death. I die to those things. I live for the Lord. I live for holiness. And you believe in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's vital. Not only is Christ your righteousness, but you know that he died for you. He died for your sins. You have committed sin. God demands punishment. Christ died on the cross to suffer and to die for you, to take your punishment upon himself. And while you think to yourself, Christ has died for me, for all of my sins. He forsook everything. He gave everything for me. Well, I will give everything for him. I will die to myself. Christ died for me on the cross. I will die to myself. And that's what it is to be born again. You die to yourself and you live for Christ. You trust in the Lord. You love him. You serve him. You're a new creation. You've changed. And it's all God's work. Dear friends, the new birth requires prayer. You cannot do it by yourself. We pray to the Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I know I am in Adam. By nature, I am a natural born sinner. I need to be in Christ. I can't change that status. Lord, have mercy. Help me to die to myself that I may be born again in Christ. That's the only way. And this is the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Do we see how important this is? How important Adam is? How important Christ is? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We are made alive in Christ. This is my final point this morning. We're made alive in Christ. You cannot truly live while you are in Adam. You cannot truly live while you are in Adam. That's not true life, to be in Adam. This is the great lie that people believe in this world. People think that to live, to have the best of this world, is not to be religious, not to seek after Christ. Just do what you want. Live how you please. Just be in Adam. That's what true life is. That's not the teaching of the Bible. You are not living when you are sinning. Sin is death. When you live in sin, you are slowly dying. That's what it is. That's how the Bible puts it. I live in sin without God. You're slowly dying. But if you are in Christ, that's what it is to truly live. True life is holiness. It's not sin. It's living for God. It's walking with him. It's having spiritual life. It's being able to pray. And it's about knowing that you have everlasting life, of course. Everlasting life is what's promised to us, to those who trust in the Lord. Our bodies will die one day, but one day they'll be raised and we will go to be with the Lord forever. That's what it is to be in Christ, not for the tribe of Adam. The tribe of Adam, well, they will be raised, but only to be condemned, only to be eternally forsaken and lost. Dear friends, you must be in Christ. Go to the Lord if you are not in Christ this day. Go to the Lord, pray. You must seek him. You must be born again. You must know Christ, because to know Christ is life eternal. May the Lord bless these things to us.